Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Awesome, amen. Amen. Praise God. I have all kinds of privileges here this morning. Have an opportunity to pray for Jim and Joyce. What a privilege that is. Wonderful song and worship. Wonderful special song as we've given our gifts to the King. Prepared our hearts for the Lord to bless us in a moment with the Word. But periodically, we have the privilege of dedicating little ones to the Lord. And I always like those times because you get the privilege of blessing a little one and blessing the family and so forth. And Gary was threatening me here. He said when I call everybody up, they'll fill the stage. I don't think he's inaccurate. I think that's absolutely the truth. So I would like Lacey Joy Kessler to bring her family and give us an opportunity to dedicate her to the Lord.
Perceives that to be valuable. That's why the Confederacy money became valueless during the Civil War. You know why? Nobody perceived it to be worth anything. Nobody accepted it as legal tender. You can take a watermelon and draw a check on it and take it to the bank, and you can do that because it represents. Maybe you want to do that because then it'll rot away and the bank will have no record, or the tellers down there will eat it, but whatever. My point is that it is what you perceive it to be. And so what you need to understand is there's only two things keeping this country going: with what you perceive to be valuable, because you believe America's great, America will be great. Because you believe the legal tender is legal and it's valuable, it will continue to be so. The minute you stop thinking that it's valuable, it's called consumer confidence. Hello? This is part of economics. Consumer confidence. If you lose confidence in that dollar, you'll probably make a run on the bank, and they don't have enough of them in the bank to handle all of our accounts. So it's pretty good that you keep having confidence, but when they keep doing things that will make you lose confidence, what do? You hoard your money and you stop buying things. This is an economic lesson. I'm probably preaching to the choir. You guys already know this. You stop buying things, guess what happens to the economy? It happens to be exactly like it is now. Perilous times. Because we've put confidence in men instead of in God. But this is what I think God is trying to tell us, and the Lord is telling us. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians and the very last chapter in the 16th verse. You can read the whole latter part of this chapter because let me give you another good verse here. Just a good verse. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I just want to read it because it sounds good. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that is? That's a prophetic word. Did you know that? You can read that verse right into the book of Revelation. As to when the Lord is coming back. He has not appointed us unto wrath, therefore we will not go through wrath. What is the book of Revelation? It's a book of all the wrath of God being poured out on the earth. Does that tell you anything? It should encourage you Christian people, to dance in the aisle, because God has decided that He's not going to let you go through that wrath. We've not been appointed to that. Amen, Brother Connor. Keep preaching. Thanks, Dave. Verse 16, I want you to jump ahead. This is a favorite section of Scripture of mine that I've preached from a couple of times. But I want to use it to exhort you this morning, to encourage you to renew some things in your life. I want to read them first, then I want to encourage you to renew some things. Verse 16, rejoice, rejoice evermore. This last portion of Scripture is just hot in my heart and always being a part of my thinking whenever I get into tough times or have to endure or know that I'm going to be enduring things. I look to this Scripture. If Jesus is true in any portion of His Word, He's true right here. Rejoice evermore. How can I rejoice when I'm enduring? How can I rejoice? It takes an anointing of the Holy. It takes the presence of God in your life. It's what makes you peculiar. It's what makes you different. You go through tough times that other people would fold under, but you endure them because you rejoice and count yourself worthy to endure this trial for the glory of Jesus Christ. Are you still with me? It's a privilege to endure for Jesus Christ. And until you have that mindset, you'll never be an overcomer. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How can I give thanks when I'm enduring? That's the key to enduring. You give thanks while you are enduring. And it's not just the power of positive thinking. It's the power of unleashing the Holy Spirit's attitude into you rather than your own attitude. Now, this is just good stuff. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Don't quench Him. Don't resist Him. Don't frustrate Him. He's trying to do good things in you in the midst of an enduring time. Don't frustrate Him. Unleash Him. Renew that. And I'm exhorting you this morning, let these things become a part of your active Christian walk and thinking. Despise not prophesying. That's the first guy to go, is the prophet. We don't want him telling us about what's going to happen. He's the one that's telling us all about the stuff we've got to endure. Get rid of the prophet. He just makes us feel bad. Actually, he's exhorting us and instructing us. And it, like Israel, if we would have been smart enough sometimes to listen to the prophet, we would have avoided a lot of stress and trouble during those enduring times. So there's hope that the Holy Spirit is building there. And here's one of my favorite verses, because I have lived this verse in so many circumstances, it is unbelievable. But it has helped me through some of the most difficult decisions in my life. Verse 21, prove. Don't just accept even what I'm telling you this morning, although I'm the best preacher that's ever preached on the planet. Don't believe that. Prove it. Amen? Prove all things and hold fast, hold tight to that which is good. That which is good. Prove it. Is this a good thing? Is this a righteous thing? Is this a godly thing? Renew your efforts to be zealous in that area. It will help you avoid so many disastrous decisions if you prove it before you do it. Amen? And I think coupling this with some of the other ideas that he has there, like abstain from the very appearance of evil, all those things are really good as far as our walk is concerned. But verse 23 and 24 capsulizes it, and I'm going to try to bring this to a close with this particular verses. And the very God of peace, see, that's what God wants in your life. And when you're in turmoil, who's doing that? Who brings turmoil into your life? It's certainly not God. God is a God of peace. But because life is filled with disappointments, problems, and people, God gives us a resource here. Amen? And that resource is the God of peace. Listen to what he says. Sanctify you totally, wholly, totally, completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will be the one that does it. He's the one that's going to do this, keeping you in peace and sanctifying you and making you whole and preparing you to be ready for when he comes. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not real good at purifying myself. I'm not real good at sanctifying myself. I'm not real good at getting right with God. It takes the Holy Spirit of God to help me get there. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who's a constant companion of ours and helps us to have the joy and the hope that is built into these scriptures. If it's true we're in perilous times, then shouldn't we prepare ourselves? Shouldn't we get ready? Shouldn't we let the Lord do all he wants to do? Let me lay this on you. I've got 5 minutes to do, so I'm going to lay it on you as quickly as I can. My exhortation to you this morning is to go back to your original commitment. When you originally committed yourself to Jesus Christ, oh, by the way, received all the blessings that came with that. You know, it makes me want to slap my children don't do that. They're good little kids. When you do something for somebody, something good for somebody, and they don't appreciate it. You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't that just tick you off? I watch somebody else do it. You go to a restaurant or something like that, and you watch mom trying to keep their kid from, pulling the curtains down and all that kind of stuff. And so they give them this little reward. And the little brat, instead of appreciating the thing that mama does to get him to be a good little boy, he just dishes it onto the floor, And I'm thinking, you little runt. If you were my kid, it'd be a 9-iron to the green, buddy, let me tell you. But think about how the Lord feels when you make a commitment to Him, and then over the years it kind of wanes, or you get a little cold, you get a little backslidish, you don't do the things that you know you should be doing for the Lord. Not because the pastor says you got to come to church, but you come to church because you love God. But do you know how that goes? How do you think God feels when He's done such wonderful things for you and you don't appreciate it? Yeah, you need a 9-iron. That's what you need. So I'm saying renew your commitment. Renew the original commitment. Renew your zeal and your passion. These are things you do by choice. These are things you do by your will. I choose to be zealous and excited about the Lord. I choose to be passionate about Him. And these things that I've just read, you rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesy, prove all things, hold fast, save from their appearance of evil. All those things, commit yourself to them with outrageous enthusiasm. Rekindle the fire that keeps you alive in Christ. Those are things that you are responsible for, and I am responsible for. But let me tell you what, because the Lord knows us, He helps us. Even though it's your responsibility, even though it's up to you to choose to do this, the Lord's Holy Spirit will continue to work with you and draw you, and because He's a perfect and wonderful gentleman, He'll woo you and try to draw you to Himself. Aren't you thankful that He sent the Holy Spirit to be our constant companion and to help us when we are weak? And so the greatest things we need to defeat today is skepticism and cynicism. And I'm a guilty dude in skepticism and cynicism, sometimes to my own fault and my own hurt, my own harm. Because I don't watch preachers like you guys watch preachers. I watch preachers and I analyze what they're saying. Why? Because I want to be very careful that what I say and what I believe and what I support is biblical. Outside of that, I'm going to lose. It's a losing proposition outside the Bible. If you do anything outside the Bible, you're going to lose. It's just the way it is. It's just life. But so I watch preachers and I watch their delivery, and I watch their mannerisms, and I watch what they say, and I analyze what they say. Because I love somebody to speak good things into my spirit. I love preachers, great preachers, when they preach a word, and sometimes it'll cut me. Sometimes it'll hurt. Sometimes it is chastening to me. But it is good when it has its full work in my heart. And so I watch these and I analyze these guys. And some of these guys, I listen to what they say and I'm thinking, how in the world can you make a statement like that when clearly Jesus talked about us bearing a cross and enduring to the end and fighting trials. And Paul went through them and bragged about them being part of what made him a strong Christian. And then you have people trying to tell you this: when you become a Christian and you, of course, give to this ministry, you will be in the sweet by and by, and you'll be eating cherry pie from then on. You know, and I know, that's as bogus as it's ever come down the pike. It's not a new testimony. Paul talked about them. Hey, there's guys out there preaching right now while I'm in jail. While I'm in jail, they're out there preaching. And you know what they're preaching? They're preaching all this false doctrine so they can feed their bellies. Folks, it ain't changed. 2,000 years, it has not changed. People are preaching it to get their bank built up. I watched Elmer Gantry. I know what it's all about. Oh, is that too old a movie for some of you young people? Okay, how do we defeat it? How do we defeat skepticism and cynicism? Because God may want to use somebody to do some good thing in you, but if you're skeptical and a cynic about them, then you got to be real careful. And that's why I speak to myself this morning about renewing my own personal vision. What is it that God is saying to me? Where is God wanting to take me? And I'm going to tell you something else. Circumstances do not change God's vision or calling in your life. Let me repeat that. Circumstances do not change God's vision or purposes for your life. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. God's calling is still on my life. God still wants to perform. So you got to renew your vision periodically and make it flexible, and you'll defeat skepticism and cynicism. Reinforce your position. Look to the Word, look to God, and anchor yourself in what God has told you. Now, if what you think God has told you doesn't line up with Scripture, then it ain't God. But if God has told you something, reinforce that. Remember that. Remind yourself. God said this is going to happen. God said this is true. I've got to hold on to this. Are you still with me? I'm over by 2 minutes, but hold on. Speak faith and miracle terms. Believe when you can't see, because soon your emotions will follow, and your faith will also exceed where you're at this point. I think God is speaking about a breakthrough. You need to set spiritual goals for yourself. Set a goal, just a small goal, for some kind of renewal in your life. If you haven't read a good book in the Bible for a long time, reread it. If you haven't read a good book that encourages your faith, reread a good book that encourages your faith. Do something to renew and to build up your spiritual goals. And then I say, be dogmatic about your faith. We're just too pansy-ish in America about our faith. We need to get tough about it. We need to be real about it. Because we have the truth. And if we have the truth, why are we hiding? Why are we not being public about it? Why are we not sharing that with more people? I think that's good. And then, of course, add prayer for power and add the Word of God for stability. But expect change. Don't resist the change that will come if you set spiritual goals for renewal. Change will come. It's called renewal. And it will come. And then look for the miracle. Look for God. And look for the power to come into your life. The destiny is in your own hand. You can overcome perilous times by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. You overcome those times. So the destiny is actually in your hand. The choice is in your hand. So choose wisely, grasshopper. Let's stand, shall we? I'm excited this morning. I feel a renewal coming in my heart. I feel a breakthrough happening. I think the Lord has just been stirring our hearts here with just the proposition, focusing on our original commitment to Christ with the same enthusiasm. Enthusiasm will come and go. It's like the ebb and flow of a tide. But we need the ebb and the flow. And we need that enthusiasm. We need that power to flow through us. And so it keeps you trucking on for Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to do that. No matter what the times say, no matter what perils look before us, we trust in Christ, we will overcome all difficulties. Amen? Let's pray. Father, What a wonderful day this has been. Just wonderful privileges and blessings in our church. Just to be able to share and to pray together with Jim and Joyce and dedicating the little one, Lord. We just love that. And we're just praying that your Holy Spirit will continue to help us be bold about our faith and renew our commitment so that the hope that is ours, it's there. We just need to activate it. And it's done by those ways that we've just shared. Father, we just thank you for your word. It speaks to everything. And it speaks to us today. And we receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.